Welcome back to Fresh Sounds Open Ears. This is your host, Alex Eddington. This is episode 6 of our podcast, but it's actually part 2 in my 2-part conversation with composer Juliette Palmer. If you haven't listened to part 1 yet, I urge you to go back to episode 5 and give that a listen. In that episode, we cover a lot of the different types of collaborative work that Juliette does with all sorts of ensembles. Today is a little bit more focused. We're focusing in on her work on a specific project with Continuum and the Element Choir. And then we dig a little more into the kind of music that Juliette is listening to and also creating and performing herself at home these days. But just before we get into that second part of the conversation, we've got a little of the usual housekeeping to take care of. Fresh Sounds Open Ears is now available pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast. So our home base is anchor.fm, but you can also find us in Podcast Addict, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, etc., etc. There are many little places to listen. Now, all of these let you subscribe, and if you've enjoyed our show so far and you want to be the first to see episodes when they pop out, please click that subscribe button. Some of these apps also let you rate and review podcasts, most notably Podcast Addict and iTunes will let you do that. And this really helps us go up in the rankings. So if you enjoyed the podcast so far, why not leave us a review? Tell us what you think. Please also feel free to get in touch and reflect on what you've been listening to over on our social media channels. I'm always up for having a little typed conversation with you about what you're thinking. So on Instagram, we are at freshsounds_openears. On Twitter, at FSOE_podcast. And we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/freshsoundsopenears, all one word. So we've talked about your work with adult community, you know, amateurs. Mm-hmm. And when I say amateur, just for people listening, I mean, I say it with the utmost love, which is literally what it means, right?
Yeah.
People
who, I mean, I'm an amateur singer. I love singing. Mm-hmm. I've had some singing lessons along the way, but I like singing probably because I didn't study it. Doesn't have the same burden of years of classical tyranny.
I've had one voice lesson. No one's ever helped me develop my vibrato. My ability to blend, such as it is just from singing in chamber choirs for a long time. You know, learn by doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So amateurs are, to my mind, the greatest music makers, because no one's paying them to be there, and they're there out of the love and the obligation or connection relationship to an organization.
Yeah, to each other.
Yeah. I've been counting the number of times you say the word together during this interview.
Have I said it a lot?
Later. Maybe more than average, which is great. Yeah. So,
what about the piece for Continuum, Choreography of Trauma?
It's a little strange to have one of these mid-conversation lulls at the beginning of a conversation, but of course this was already after we'd been talking for almost an hour. So then we went on to start discussing a very specific and really unique project that Juliette did with Christine Duncan, the Element Choir, and Continuum Contemporary Music. You know, I remember discovering them at Nuit Blanche and just coming across them in like a underground mall on the path system.
Yeah, I didn't do that gig. I like sleeping.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. I performed one year and was like, never again. But I was like, this is magical and distressing, and I think I might be dreaming right now. Could you, for people at home, please describe the Element Choir, because there's nothing at all like that.
Okay, so the Element Choir is an improvising choir that is led by Christine Duncan, and she has developed her own system of conduction, hand gestures, cues, which draws on some existing vocabularies. I think some of it coming from the musique actuelle scene in Quebec and other stuff from here and there, but there are some cues that are her own. But it allows her to draw out an incredibly rich sound from this choir, which, you know, can be solos, accompaniments, hocketing, soundscape, just you name it. Or it could touch on different kind of genres. It's pretty epic and fun to be in. And yes, I absolutely. I mean, I've been in it since the beginning. And in fact, at one point, Christine had a grant to develop the vocabulary of conducting and structures. And I worked with her a bit on that, thinking about how to shape pieces. And I mean, she worked with lots of people, not just me. But yeah, it's been really satisfying to be part of that over the years. And I've more recently written pieces for the choir. Actually, I'm wondering if, yeah, I've done stuff with sort of subsets of the singers, like on my CD, Rivers, Burble draws on, I think there are maybe 8 or 10 singers who I know from the Element Choir who are in that. But they're also trained singers who can get the pitch that you want as well as make weird sounds.
Right.
But in the bigger Element Choir, it could be up to 75 people on some of the recordings we've done.
Right.
So it's a huge range of professional musicians, professional singers, people who just love to make sound, people who can't hold a note but love doing weird things with their cheek or their lips or whatever.
and it's almost, you know, everything they do sounds to my ear kind of like the idea of what a choir presented with fully graphic notation would do, where there's often the pitch is not precise unless there's, I suppose, a soloist sets a pitch and others copy it.
Yeah. Or,
I don't know. I need to join just so I can figure out how the training works and how rehearsals
work.
Yeah,
well,
I'm interested in the process as much as the
sound.
You
learn the cue system. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there are times when it's specific pitch and people who have trouble holding a pitch, you know, they probably sit back in those, certainly not singing out quite so loudly. But
because they're part of an organic whole. Mm-hmm. Like I think I'm imagining singing with them, you sometimes need to know when to hold back and let other people who...
Yes. And there are cues that... you might get the cue to solo. So you got to... And I mean, I remember very well singing... It was a smaller version of the choir, but we were at somewhere there when that existed. And, you know, I thought we were getting to the end of the set. And I thought, man, Christine, she really needs to wrap it up here. Like, I'm getting a bit bored. And then, of course, at that very moment, she cued me to solo. I was like, oh, damn it. You know, and so you just open your mouth and whatever comes out. But, And actually, Mary Morrison was in the audience for that because Laurie Friedman was performing in that show as well. Not with us, but... And I remember thinking, oh, my God, Mary Morrison's here. Like, the vocal, you know, goddess or whatever of Canadian opera scene. And I'm singing this stupid solo in front of her. Anyway, she was nice. She said, oh, I liked what you did, whatever that was.
That should be a wonderful compliment.
Yeah, whatever it was, I liked it.
Well, if we wanted to know what things were, we wouldn't be composers. We would write manuals for software.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We're in a deliberately uncertain medium. So the piece you wrote for Element Choir with Continuum. Mm-hmm. So that's it was a chamber ensemble of musicians, professional musicians, and then the Element Choir and text.
Yes.
What was the text from?
That's a good question. Okay. So the piece was called Choreography of Trauma. And I was very lucky to have a residency at Sunnybrook Research Institute. And I met lots of amazing scientists and researchers. And then I also got to spend an evening at the Trauma Bay. So I was very interested in the structures and means by which a large group of very skilled people respond to a chaotic situation, which is someone who's come into the trauma bay who's, if they weren't there, they would die. And so how do they organize themselves? And, you know, there's a trauma team leader. So in my piece, I really think of Christine as having that role. And so the piece was really about setting up situations that would veer into chaos and then come back. And the text is coming from my transcription of a recording, the recording I made of that evening. It was about a 45-minute recording of when someone had come in who had been shot, and all the sounds of the room, the sounds of the machinery, the sounds of the people that are working, you know, at their to their utmost ability to save this person's life. And it's a very moving, actually, and I'll never forget that night. For me, it was tricky to think, is it the right thing to make a piece of music about this? Is this appropriate? So I couldn't, for me, it couldn't be about the individual. It is more about the doctors and the nurses and everyone that's in that room, how they work together as a team. And I mean, the piece begins, my piece begins with the choir and they're in the room with the audience, and then they're just mingling, introducing themselves, saying, you know, hey, I'm Alex. I sing with the Element Choir. How are you?
That's right.
Yeah. Because that's what they do in the trauma bay in order to become a good team, because often they may have never worked together before.
But in that moment,
when they know that someone is coming in, okay, they've got 5 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever it is. They've got all the people there, and then they say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm your anesthetist for today. And that improves outcomes tremendously. So it's all about communication and respect and trust and working together. We get together again. Yeah, so... that's the thing I was really kind of digging into in that piece.
That was tremendous. And so what does the score look like for that? Like, how do you just give the Element Choir text instructions? Or
sometimes there are pitches. I'm not sure if they ever looked at the score. I think Christine has the score. I mean, obviously Christine has the score. But I will set it up if I want them to have pitch material. I support it either with the instruments or, usually with the instruments, kind of setting it up for them. But and there are some, I think there were some particular cues that, we developed for the piece. Like, there was one where you're taking your pulse and you're singing it. You're singing numbers or if your birth year thing, just relating sort of thematically, but not too obviously. So,
How do you know with a piece like that you're going to get the right atmosphere and mood out of what the Element Choir does? I guess that's about the relationship with Christine and...
I mean, I've sung with it so long that I can kind of imagine... how do I know I'm going to get the right mood? I don't know. It's just intuitive. And I might fail as well. You know, there were some things like, I was thinking another gesture that I came up with for the piece was this, just thumping the chest, which is a little bit kind of CPR-ish, but, there was another bit where you're snipping with scissors, and that's snipping the text into smaller pieces. And then stitching is putting the text back together. There was this sound, which, because it was in the trauma bay a lot, where they're trying to find a vein to put it out. A needle. So that's, I'm coming from very much from the space and then transferring it to the choir, but it's abstracted.
And you're talking about two different things in that list there. The some of them are sounds, the chest and the wrist, but then some of them are actually like new gestures for Christine to do with the choir.
So
cutting apart text and stitching.
Some of the words, whoa, I mean, just things that I heard people say in the recording, I don't necessarily know what they mean. And I actually had to email with the trauma team leader at some point to say, like, what does it mean when they say AC 18 left IO? you know, well, he could explain, or 1821 VSA, vital signs absent. That's how, what was the last time that this person had actual vital signs? So since 1821, vital signs absent. So
they'd have to speak in a kind of a short.
Yeah, they have all these. How quickly things move. It's incredibly fast, and it's constantly changing. You know, because someone's in a medical crisis, it's one thing goes and then another, and then you fix this and then that, and then it just, it's a chain reaction.
Wow.
Yeah. So that that was pretty satisfying, and I think the singers found it a rewarding piece and quite moving to be part of that. Mm-hmm. And sort of ironic, you know, that that's the last piece I had done before the pandemic, because that, you know, you think of the past year, all those people, you know, at hospitals, they've just been going full tilt ever since.
And particularly in the beginning, when less was understood about the symptoms and the progression of COVID symptoms, it must have been very strange in a place like a trauma ward or a COVID ward.
Yeah. Those medical professionals, probably fewer,
not always knowing what was
going on. And there's probably less call for trauma. I certainly know that, you know, emerge doctors were not doing it's not the same kind of emergency.
Mm, yeah.
You know, when people are stuck at home, they're not crashing cars and shooting each other as much, but
one hopes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Mm. Well, so we talked about some great, projects. They're all quite different, but all involve, you know, collaboration and meeting people where they're at and an organic process and all that. Just tell us briefly, like, what is Urban Vessel all about? I was surprised looking at the website how many different projects Urban Vessel has launched and how different some of them are.
Indeed.
From things that are much more like opera or music theater to an album project with Rivers and...
What's
the overarching...
I don't know. Is there an overarching increasingly, projects are happening outwards. And I just feel like maybe at a certain point I just became a bit disenchanted with theater or conventional spaces. So that led me, you know, I've worked with dancers a lot, singers a lot. There is a concern with water lately, be it rivers, lake that was on the brink, and then Sonic Gyre in Japan at the edge of the ocean. And that became another piece called Ukiyo, Floating World. Right now, I'm hoping this summer to bring to a conclusion the Homing Project, which takes place at the Brickworks, and exploring ideas of home and belonging, which has, again, been kind of ironic that we'd started that and then we were all stuck at home. Well, not all of us, but many of us were stuck at home for a year. So there's that piece. And then we just got funding for a new project called Bubble Life, which is for Gregory O, Courtney Ching Lancaster, their baby, a one-year-old Jones, and Julia Aplin is the choreographer and I'm the composer. And so we're exploring the science of bubbles, but also this kind of social bubble phenomenon that we've been living in for the last year. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That's wonderful. Where do you
go? Oh, that's from Canada Council. We have a research and create grant. We just found out this week, actually. Yay! Bubble life.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. We've talked about a lot of things. To wrap things up, I kind of like to go back to kind of the rapid fire, same questions I ask other people, just to kind of see how you might answer them. And, you know, one of them is, what are you listening to these days?
What am I? I've been listening. Oh, I keep answering the same way. I live with another composer, James Rolfe, and we've actually been making a lot of music, less listening to. So we've been singing together. Great. First of all, during the early days of the lockdown last year, we started singing Dowland lute songs. Not that I play the lute, but I play the piano. and James would sing, and then I would start to sing an inner part. And so we've got a bunch of those books that we've been going through, and then we have other Elizabethan songs that we've been singing. And then it happened, a friend of ours who's a poet, we both set some of his poems for a project, and then James has been writing some more songs. His cousin, Sophie Herxheimer in London, England, is a wonderful poet, and so they're working on a project together, so I've learned the piano part, and he's been singing, and then he's been writing more poems. Poets that George Eliot Clarke, who wrote the libretto for Beatrice Chauncey, who was also the Poet Laureate of Toronto, George has been commissioning James to write songs, settings of a bunch of other Canadian poets. So, so we've kind of got a little bit of a Canadian poetry song thing happening. And then when we just listen to something, it's either kind of funky or it's early music-y. Or what do we dance to? Actually, recently, I reminded myself I did need to dance more. So, to feel happy. So we put together, actually for Purim, for our Jewish community, we were invited to do a dance set. So it was all booty related, shake your pants. It was a great, free your mind and your ass will follow. Anyway, it's a great set list. What can I say?
That's amazing. Well, yeah, that's the thing. I'm guessing the early music is less about the dancing. Is that about like calming the nerves or focusing? Or you just like
the music. It's good to hear good people sing it because we've been singing it. So it's always a good reminder how it could sound. It might elevate our own performance.
Fair. Have you heard Sting's
I think I did, but I'm not sure. You like it?
It's so good because he works with a real lutenist who's great. Yes, I think if Sting also played the lute, it might not be so great. But it works.
Right.
It works.
I will check it out.
Stuff
I'll check
too,
it
like
out.
Multi-track. Yeah. A question. I wonder if I'm predicting what you're going to say. What is your favorite non-musical sound? And you can define what's music and not music any way you choose, of course. But where something just beyond the edge of what you would say is music.
Well, I do like the sound of a train whistle at night. I do love that, and we do get that because we live in the junction. So,
right. By the freight rail.
Yeah, freight rail. Mm-hmm.
You get all the. Do you get the thunderous?
Oh, actually, I love that sound. Yeah, the coupling, uncoupling, smashing together of. Bits of train. I do like that. I mean, I love birds, but then it's just a lot of birds. There are a lot of them. They're not all the same. So
no, some of them are nicer than others. Yes. I was chasing what I thought was an exciting warbler today. It turned out to be goldfinch because they sometimes make songs that I don't expect. But I'm not complaining. Yeah. There were a good 10 of them singing in the trees, and that's a wonderful thing.
I mean, when I go home to New Zealand, that's sort of the first thing that when I wake up in the morning and I just hear all those birds, it's just such a deep memory of home. And it's very specific. Yeah.
Panoply of them.
Yeah. And then beautiful sounds. They're very melodious.
Does New Zealand have better birds than Canada?
Better. Not sure. Better. Different. There are some really beautiful songs. Yeah. So the bell bird, the tui, you've got to check it out. Well, the other thing, you have to realize is that, my parents listen to public radio, national radio, whatever you want to call it. So every morning before the news comes on, there's a bird call. So there's a bird call, and then the commentator will say, that was the sound of the kōkako. Blah, 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 and then the time is 7 o'clock. Today's bird is the saddleback. That was the sound of the, whatever the pipi wharāroa, shining cuckoo. Yeah, every different bird every day. Yeah, you should check it out. I'll send you the link because I know you like birds.
I would. Yes, and I don't know much. I mean, I'm determined to go to New Zealand at some point, but I'm very the magic will break for me because in my mind, New Zealand is a magical kingdom, well, and I don't want that.
I can't even go there right now, so good luck to you.
Well, I can't afford to go there for years, but eventually I'd like to go and yeah.
Well, the bird thing's pretty special. Actually, my grandfather was an amateur ornithologist who wrote a weekly column, Bird Notes, for years in the local paper. So, which is kind of it's a very musical thing to do. My grandmother was a pianist and a singer, and my grandfather was this ornithologist. So,
that's wonderful. Why didn't you become one of these composers who puts bird calls into everything? I'm not disparaging those people because I know several.
No, I know, because it's such a cliche, and I have put it in a sort of ironic way. Like I did a dance theater piece called Inland with a wonderful New Zealand choreographer, Douglas Wright. And I was sort of spoofing that in a way, in a similar way he was spoofing the sheep, the shepherd and the dog and the flock of sheep in the dance theater piece. So I did have some of these bird calls in there, but they would get kind of raucous and the dancers would screech them and they were turned into electronic whales and so anyway, but yes,
this is where we get into the irreverent. I can't say that word, the irreverent part.
But
I agree with this completely. So a function of composition that is often forgotten is mockery. I think it's important to mock things through music.
Well, it's tricky to be, I think, playful, irreverent playfulness. I don't want to
light mockery.
Yeah, light mockery. Yes. Yeah.
Well, there's so much silly music that takes itself seriously from the past. But well, this is great. It's been wonderful to talk with you about all these things. And,
I need to beetle on over to another virtual space. I'm one of the mentors for Pivot this year. And Kim Ferris Manning has a rehearsal right now. I should go and check it out. It's so exciting, even for me to be online, seeing human beings in a space together making music.
That's so bizarre.
It's so thrilling.
And that's it for this episode of Fresh Sounds, Open Ears. Come back next time when I'll be talking to composer Afarin Mansouri about her music, her Iranian heritage, and how she has combined these in her work and collaborated with quite a few different kinds of musicians. That will probably be a two-part conversation because we had an awful lot to talk about. And in the meantime, please subscribe to Fresh Sounds Open Ears if you haven't already. You might consider rating and reviewing our podcast. That helps us move into a place of greater visibility. You can do that in iTunes and also in Podcast Addict and a few of the other podcast apps. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram. And please have a little conversation with us. If you like something you've heard in the shows, if you have any questions, send me a message and we can keep the conversation going online. Fresh Sounds Open Ears is presented by the ACNMP, the Alliance for Canadian New Music Projects. Our music is by Saman Shahi, and our administrative help has been from Steph Chua. And right now, Steph's going to tell you all about the ACNMP.
The Alliance for Canadian New Music Projects, ACNMP, is an organization dedicated to the promotion of Canadian contemporary music. Throughout our history, it has been our mission to encourage teachers to teach Canadian contemporary music, to motivate students to study and perform this music, and to encourage Canadian composers to write music for students of all levels, from the most junior to the paraprofessional. Our mission is to commission, promote, and preserve Canadian contemporary music as a cornerstone of our national heritage by fostering its performance among students, teachers, and performers through education, festivals, and workshops. Visit us at acnmp.ca.